You bet she thinks your tractor's sexy. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
You rainfall reporters are going to be busy all weekend, no matter where you are in the state of Wisconsin. Good morning, everybody. Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Youngke along with you. Welcome to a Friday. Our folks in the La Crosse area, you're probably going to see rain during your morning commute. The Madison area, probably rain by early afternoon. Southeast Wisconsin, you're probably not going to see much rain until later this evening. The good news, daytime highs today are expected to touch out right around 52 degrees. Tomorrow, 66 with more showers developing Saturday night into Sunday. Sunday's highs, right around 63 degrees. Stumacher Ag Meteorologist along with us. I want to know if we're going to see any severe weather out of this. He'll have those details. We've got more details for our dairy industry this morning on a federal mandate that goes into effect on Monday, requiring dairy farms to test any lactating cow that's going to cross state lines. Wisconsin Ag Secretary Randy Romanski, our Wisconsin State Veterinarian Darlene Conkle, talked with media yesterday about how the America's Dairyland is going to be approaching this. Stick around for those details. We're introducing you to another Alice in Dairyland finalist that was intimidated by farmers when she was young. Stick around for that story. And talking about rural vigor, trying to keep our rural communities intact and thriving. It is a goal of Compure Financial. How are they hoping to attain that? We'll talk about it.
Fast growing, safe on seed, nutrient rich. Fuel up for a winning season with Paraline, the ultimate in-furrow starter fertilizer by CHS. This all-in-one liquid fertilizer combines advanced enzyme technology, a low-salt formulation, and patented chelate to develop strong roots faster and emerge ahead of the pack. Call your CHS agronomy representative to place your Paraline order today.
Wisconsin is moving away from carbon-based fuel like coal and moving toward renewable energy like solar. This means there's more opportunities for farmers to add value to their farm with solar arrays. But you're going to want to proceed with caution. I'm Stephanie Hoff from the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison. Bill Omakin joins us in studio. He's a professor of practice and law with the UW-Madison Division of Extension. He says it's important for farmers to think carefully before signing solar agreements. He comes at it with a cautionary lens because these are long-term contracts. He outlines common mistakes that people run into when signing these agreements.
I always get a little nervous when you have new types of developers coming out and dangling a lot of money in front of people, and people haven't really had much of an opportunity to think about what are the long-term implications, much less the short-term implications. So in the case of solar, we're talking about a 20-year contract, typically, to lease land. And you're being offered somewhere between $500 to $1,200 per acre per year for that contract. And for some farmers, that's going to be very attractive, particularly depending on where we are in the farm economy. The challenge is that, again, this is a 20-year contract. And especially if you're a producer looking to transition to the next generation, does the next generation want to tie up 40 acres in a solar array? But in the short term, have you really thought about how you'd use those 40 acres and whether or not you're going to change that use over time? Once you've leased it, you no longer really have control over it.
When you are now sharing your property with a developer, for example, are you losing out on some of your property rights?
Well, I think the largest potential implication is use value taxation. That's generally been very beneficial to farmers across the state of Wisconsin. And it is not clear whether a solar array on top of ag land still qualifies that ag land for use value. Some assessors are saying yes, some assessors are saying no. When I've talked to the Wisconsin Department of Revenue, they're not quite certain what their position is. So you do take a risk that suddenly the taxes on that land are going to go up considerably.
So the political landscape is also changing around the category that you'd put renewable energy into.
The support for renewable energy tends to be relatively consistent, but what we've seen, particularly in other states, is once a party replaces the party that was in power, either suddenly they become much more supportive of renewable energy or much less supportive renewable energy. So you're tying up your land in a 20-year contract, but the support for that type of renewable energy may either increase or decrease over that time period.
So again, some of the things you should be thinking about before putting ink to paper, What does the next generation on the farm want? That succession plan.
Right.
Maybe some of the tax questions you need to ask. What about, can you build on your farm when they do construction on there? Like, do you have to start asking permission?
I'm going to give a really lawyer-like response to that. And that depends. Depends on what's in that contract or that agreement. And that agreement may say that you cannot build a farm building next to a solar array to block the sun. And if that land next to the solar array was the best spot on your farm for a farm building, realize you've contracted that away. And if you attempt to do that, that's a breach of contract, and that developer can bring a lawsuit against you and force you to have that building removed. So there are rights that you give up, and that's why I say read the contracts carefully. Consult with knowledgeable legal counsel at the time that you're looking to contract.
Privacy, maybe that's something to negotiate too. When can they come onto the farm for maintenance and construction? And do you lose out on some of that, the privacy that a farm owner gets?
Yeah, you do want to make very clear in the contractor agreement what roads on the farm can be used by the developer. There'll be the initial construction stage, and then you'll also have the 20 years where the solar array is being used or producing energy, and they'll need to come onto it from time to time for maintenance. And you'll want to make clear what roads can be used. If you have an important road that's on the property that's been leased, you want to make sure that you've retained the ability to use that road, because if you don't read the contract carefully, you may contract that away.
Any concerns over, can I still hunt on my land? Can I still, you know, ride my ATV in that area of the property? Does that come up?
I haven't seen that come up a lot, but those, again, are considerations you really need to think about. Most solar developers are not going to want hunting in and around their solar array for fear that bullets will destroy the panels. But will there be any restrictions on any kind of farm use within a certain number of feet of the solar array as well? Those are things that you'll want to know. And in addition to that, you'll want to know, can I do anything underneath that solar array? Can I still do some ag practices? A lot of research being done where you can graze livestock under solar arrays, and that works well. That would be an argument for retaining use value taxation as well. Those are things that you're going to want to know in advance before you sign the dotted line. And don't just sign with the first contractor who comes to you. Chances are, if one contractor's come to you, others are going to as well. And you may get a better deal, more dollars, and fewer restrictions from that later contractor.
And again, these are things that you don't just have to think about, am I going to want this in the next year? It's things you're going to say, do I want this over the next 20 years?
That's right. Think forward. A lot of us are not really conditioned to think forward. We tend to live in the moment. And especially if we have monetary needs that are pretty immediate, but you do need to think forward 20 years.
Past that, can you require that the developer decommission that after the contract is up so you can continue doing whatever else you want with the land?
Stephanie, that's a great question. And there's kind of two responses to that. In one case, the developer will say, well, when this 20-year agreement has expired or whatever the term is, that you can have ownership of the solar array. And the farmer might think, well, that's a great deal. I'll be producing all this energy. But solar arrays degrade over time and they get much less efficient. So by at the end of the 20 years, you may not actually be producing a lot of energy. The other side of it is I highly recommend that there be a bond provision in that agreement. So you require a bond to be taken out by the developer so that there is money available to remove that solar array at the end of the 20 years if you as the farmer decide it should be removed.
How big are these contracts typically? You said there's usually a lot of provisions.
Contracts typically are 10, 12 pages long, a lot of complicated language. And that comes from someone who's been doing contracts for about 35 years as well as a lawyer. And so that's why it's really important to know what each provision means and what your options are.
Bill Omakin joining us in studio, professor of law at the UW-Madison Division of Extension. He says there is a fact sheet on the Division of Extension website under local government. It has a lot of information on contract agreements and what to watch for and how to understand them. Extension cannot be a farmer's attorney, and he advises consulting with legal counsel before getting into a solar agreement. From the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Have you ever had an MRI through the hospital where you're crunched inside a scary tube-like tunnel? MH Imaging in Middleton provides the spacious comfort of a completely open design MRI, the most updated concept in MRIs. It's an open MRI, open for everyone, regardless of insurance or doctor affiliation, for a fraction of the cost of a medical system. And the results are available the same day, providing you with answers you need to know now. Visit MHImaging.com.
This is Matt and Pete Gunderson. We recently celebrated the life of Ingrid, proud of her Norwegian heritage and a passion for art. Her life celebration included the Norwegian art of rose mulling. Her family was invited to help decorate the casket. Allow us to personalize every detail of a life well lived.
Let our family help your family.
Visit GundersonFH.com. Over 100 years as your hometown life celebration center.
Email from school. About the incident today.
Scary.
Tell me about it. Did you have any idea that was going on?
None. I mean, you saw Derek at the game last night too. Did you have a clue?
No, but you know, teachers like me, parents, we don't always know as much as you guys do. Kids hear first about what's going on with other kids.
Half the time, it's rumors.
It can be hard to tell sometimes, but if you're ever concerned about a friend who's having trouble with alcohol, prescription drugs, bullying, violence, anything, you need to tell an adult. Mom or me, a teacher, coach, school counselor, someone you know and trust.
Dad, no kid is gonna tell an adult about that kind of stuff.
I get it, but if we don't know, we can't help. Speaking up about a problem, that's what helping a friend is all about.
For more information, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
An industry that feeds the world is definitely an industry worth talking about. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Welcome back on a Friday morning. Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke. Glad you're making time for us today. We'll make time for Stu Muck, our ag meteorologist. He's on the way with our Compeer Financial Ag Weather Update in just a moment. Well, if you've been to a Blaine's Farm and Fleet lately, you might have noticed they've got a new service, and it's designed specifically for farmers that have pharmaceuticals on hand on the farm, from day-to-day opportunities to make an animal feel better, right on through to medication that is kind of taking care of an animal through stages of disease or sickness. Farmers generally are accustomed to having some of those pharmaceuticals and having access to them, but the Food and Drug Administration has changed the prescription-only rule for farmers. And that means that some of the common items that they've had on the farm suddenly were very difficult to get a hold of. Now Blaine's Farm and Fleet has stepped into that space, providing essentially prescription drug possibilities for farmers. Chris Ramos is with Blaine's Farm and Fleet and explains a little bit more about the Food and Drug Administration's actions and what they're doing to try to help farmers.
So the FDA actually decided that many of the prescriptions that are for farmers and for mainly horse owners needed just an extra step of regulation, and started implementing a prescription-only rule for many medications that were very, very common for farmers. I think one of the bigger ones that people were talking about was the oxytetracycline. And that is just something that farmers use on a daily basis, almost as common as like ibuprofen. So it became one of the items that I think was a catalyst for farmers to figure out what alternatives are out there and who can actually make this process easier. And that's kind of where Blaine's Farm and Fleet stepped in.
Chris Ramos with Blaine's Farm and Fleet. So farmers, producers, they're still working with their veterinarian to get the prescriptions that are needed for any of the product to be dispersed. But a lot of farmers don't have the extra time for that step. So basically, that's where Blaine's Farm and Fleet steps in.
Looking at Animal RX as another outlet to help service our farmer friends, we built an infrastructure so that your prescription drugs, it still has to start with a prescription. So we always tell everyone it starts at the vet. we are not becoming the vet, but it starts at the vet. And then we can fill those prescription drugs for farmers. It's online, farmandfleetrx.com. And our program is called Animal Animal Rx. Big reason why we had Animal Rx is because, again, there are a lot of prescriptions that your pet owners, as far as even dog owners, will need, and we can fill those on the site.
So again, kind of like, I guess you'd say the Chewies or something like that, where you have a prescription, but you need someone to vend that for you. Farmers are already making trips to Blaine's Farm and Fleet. This is one way to ease that responsibility. But like he said, it still all starts with a prescription. Let's get started with weather now. Stumach Ag Meteorologists coming in with our Compure Financial Ag Weather Update. Yeah, I remember, you know, we always had something in the refrigerator out in the barn, or there was always something that you wanted to have around in case something got sick. It's a whole lot more complicated than when we were farming, hey, Stu?
Yeah, it sure is. I mean, we had that bottle of penicillin or Combiotic, and that cow doesn't look right. Just give her a shot.
Yep. Lots has changed, and it's nice to be able to streamline the process, make it a little easier on the farms at least. Let's talk about this weather. This is not going to be an easy weekend. I kind of feel sorry for anybody that's got outdoor plans because it could be a hit or miss, huh?
Yeah, it's going to be getting a lot wetter around here, pretty windy too over the next several days. Those winds, I think, will be the big noticeable part of it all, but there is going to be some rain. In fact, low pressure is in Nebraska, just far southwest Nebraska this morning. I expect it heads up to Minnesota into the day tomorrow. Out ahead of the front, there's this line of rain. Showers, could be some moderate rains, northern Missouri, western Iowa, some more rain up into southwest Minnesota, eastern South Dakota, central North Dakota, a real line forming. It's going to march east. Will it affect Wisconsin? Late this afternoon, western Wisconsin first by 3 or 4 o'clock, eastern Wisconsin not till 5 or later, but showers develop, and we could talk upwards of a tenth to a quarter of an inch yet late today. Rain sticks around overnight, could add up a bit more. That low moves up into Minnesota. We still expect plenty of moisture to force north, maybe not as much rain Saturday early and again later in the day, but Saturday night into Sunday, more likely more widespread shower and thunderstorm activity. And all in all, that's where those amounts will be adding up pretty easily, I expect, into the near half to one inch range, and even more with some of the thunderstorms. It's going to be a wet weekend, breezy too, wind gusts at least up to 30 miles per hour almost every day right into early next week. I'll have forecast details right after this.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Rural Mutual is the number one farm insurer in Wisconsin for a good reason. As a company founded by farmers, they understand the ag industry and its challenges. Local agents offer farm families the best advice and personalized coverage. Visit ruralmutual.com to find an agent near you.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Our travel compass is pointed east. Hello, everyone. Farm Director Pam Yonke inviting you to join me on our captivating Cape Cod tour, October 19th through the 26th. We'll start in Boston with a tour of a nearby dairy, then a ferry ride to Martha's Vineyards where we'll meet alpacas, plus an unforgettable sand dunes adventure. Go to holidayvacations.com, enter keyword Pam for more information and to watch a travel show, or call 888-557-1020 for a brochure. All right, buddy, let's have that forecast.
All right, the Compure Financial Ag Weather Forecast does start out still pretty nice this morning. We'll even see some of the sun, but the clouds will develop, becoming mostly cloudy. Late afternoon showers, could even be a thunderstorm by evening, a breezy day in the upper 50s, maybe still around 60 in western Wisconsin. Southeast winds 10 to 20. They'll gust around 30. Overnight, temps may drop a little early, but cloudy skies, showers, possible thunderstorms, and more likely again toward daybreak tomorrow. We see that. Those temps drop a bit but rise, probably into the upper 50s or near 60 by daybreak tomorrow. Southeast winds gusting to 25. Mostly cloudy Saturday. Showers and maybe a thunderstorm, especially toward the afternoon. Now, I'd expect daytime temps in the mid or upper 70s with the southwest winds gusting to 30 and still some shower or storm possibility Sunday, only about 70, upper 60s further north, and southeast winds gust to 25. Rain should finally taper off and end through Monday, Pam, and then a slight chance of a little sprinkly shower stuff could build back in again later Tuesday.
Well, we're going to settle the dust fast then. Sounds good.
All right, I would believe that's it. Hopefully it does good for what's been planted.
Well, we'll see. All right, buddy, talk to you on Monday. Thanks, Stu.
You bet.
Stu Mucker, ag meteorologist with your Compure Financial Ag Weather Update. Compure Financial is your financial partner committed to agriculture in rural America. Find out more, including all their local resources, at compure.com.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
You could be the perfect fit in the world of clinical research. Ready to do your part in helping medicine move forward? Fortrea is recruiting healthy males and females of non-childbearing potential ages 18 to 65. Trial involves one stay of 4 nights plus 3 follow-up visits. Compensation up to $4,430 may be provided for time and participation. Visit FortreaClinicalTrials.com. That's F-O-R-T-R-E-A ClinicalTrials.com. Or call 608-210-5454. Now is your chance to earn extra money while contributing to a good cause. Fortrea Clinical Trials is currently seeking healthy males and females of non-childbearing potential ages 18 to 55. You must be available for one stay of 33 nights plus 2 follow-up visits. Compensation of up to $12,634 may be provided for time and participation. Call Fortrea today, 608-210-5454, or find out more at FortreaClinicalTrials.com. That's F-O-R-T-R-E-A ClinicalTrials.com.
You love your home. It's full of memories from the past and even more memories to be made. When you're ready to spruce it up, contact AF Construction. AF Construction will talk to you about your addition ideas, like a relaxing three-season sunroom or expanded living space. AF Construction, your local hands-on remodeling contractor, offering line item estimates and eye-popping results. For your free consultation, visit afconstructionllc.com. Get ready for a remarkable new look.
A good friend might tell you that your shoe's untied, or, hey, you've got a bit of breakfast on the corner of your mouth. Well, a good friend will also share valuable insights about the scoop on money and energy savings. Like Benjamin Plumbing and their game-changing electric hybrid water heaters. Potential savings of up to 3 to 4 times a conventional water heater with current tax incentives up to $2,000. Benjamin Plumbing's electric hybrid water heaters go beyond being just a water heater. It acts as a dehumidifier for your basement, kicking musty odors, mold, and excess moisture to the curb. Eco-friendly and efficient, these electric hybrid water heaters will leave your wallet and our environment completely satisfied.
Hi, Dale Benjamin with Benjamin Plumbing. When we say your plumbing problem is fixed, we mean it. No excuses, I guarantee it. Contact Benjamin Plumbing at BenjaminPlumbing.com.
Now you've got a friend in the plumbing business.
Benjamin Plumbing.
Tons of glass artists share the same passion for eye-catching art as Ignite Glass and Gifts, so we're showcasing their work alongside our talented local artists and our in-house Ignite artists. The latest techniques, the hottest colors, and mind-blowing designs are here for you to enjoy. Madison's favorite for glass, gifts, and vape, Ignite Glass and Gifts. Monona Drive, Williamson Street, and O'Dana Road. Plus, IgniteGlassandGifts.com. Do your eyes a favor and see this stuff.
I didn't ask to be thrown in the streets with nowhere to go. I didn't think I'd survive. But I did ask for help, and Covenant House was there for me.
1 in 10 young adults will experience a form of homelessness this year. For these kids who didn't ask to be put in this unthinkable situation, Covenant House is there.
Covenant House helped me break the cycle of homelessness in my family. They gave me the love that I needed.
Over 2,000 young people will sleep safely in a Covenant House bed tonight. When youth who are experiencing homelessness have a hot meal, a safe place to sleep, medical care, and love, they can overcome heartbreaking challenges and have a brighter future.
They just really genuinely just wanted to help me succeed, and I'm succeeding. I'm a speaker, I'm an author. Covenant House really helped me and really helped mold me into the woman I am today.
If you or someone you love is asking for help, go to safeplacetosleep.org today.
Phase one, clear takeoff.
Since 1995, the Global Positioning System, or GPS, developed by the U.S. military,
here we go,
has been operational for civilian use.
Please proceed to the highlight.
Today, the men and women of the Air Force Reserve continue their vital mission, guiding you safely on your way while protecting the freedoms we all enjoy. The United States Air Force Reserve, guiding and protecting America.
Making a decision on new home furnishings is easy with Lazy Boy.
You already know he only cares about the comfort, but it's the luxury and design you crave. You choose the style, patterns, and material, while he's imagining himself being seated right in front of the 50-yard line. Call it Lazy Luxury at its finest.
Lazy decorators love Lazy Boy. Lazy Boy Home Furnishings and Decor, Madison, East Springs Drive near East Town Mall.
And now a break from the Farm Report with Pam Yonke for a sports report.
Rob, I'm going to combine a couple topics I had today into one and ask you a question about this. And I'm really high on Cooper DeJean. Hell, everyone is. And here's why I don't think, even if he's there, why the Packers won't draft him. Because everyone's picking it. Every mock draft has it. Everyone wants him. Everyone is like, DeJean's the guy. I go back and then I'm going to ask you, Robbie, on the worst pick in your lifetime and the best pick in your lifetime. And I'll couple this when, for me, I mean, there's a lot of bad picks that are really prevalent. But for me, it's like the pick that didn't happen, and this goes to T.J. Watt. Everyone, the blind, deaf, and dumb even knew that T.J. Watt should be a Packer. He was there right for the picking. And our guy, the Silver Fox, old Teddy, he traded back, ended up getting Kevin King and Vince Beagle out of it. To me, that's just like, I still like have nightmares about it. I still wake up in a cold sweat thinking about it sometimes. So for me, it's like the pick that didn't happen. This could be one of the worst. I know you got Mandrich up there and you know, Sherrod, whatever. But for me, it's the pick that didn't happen. What's, in Rob Reichel's lifetime, we'll start with the worst, and then your best for Packers draft picks?
Yeah, you know, Mike Sherman had a lot of worst in his 4 or 5 years as general manager. Evil from Too Small, Jamal Reynolds, you know, he had a bunch.
Sorry, Justin Harrell.
Yeah, and right. Although Harrell was Teddy Thompson's, that was 07, I think. By then, Sherman was gone. Tony Mandarich is probably the worst pick in franchise history, Ebo, and he's in the discussion for worst in league history. And it's not only because he busted at number two, Ebo, which he obviously did, but just remember who went 3, 4, 5 that year, right? Obviously, Troy Aikman came off the board at one. And then Green Bay was sitting there in the catbird seat at number two with a lot of, you know, staring at a lot of great talent. So now, Evo, here's what goes in the next 4 picks, all right? Barry Sanders, 3 to the Lions. You can make the case he's the best running back in the last 30 years. Derek Thomas, one of the greatest pass rushers we've ever seen at number 4. Hall of Fame player, just like Barry Sanders was. Deion Sanders goes 5 to Atlanta, arguably the greatest corner in league history. So, Evo, you've got 3, 4, 5 there that are all in the Hall of Fame that are certainly in the discussion of the best player at their position over the last, you know, 3 decades, maybe ever. So my worst pick probably is Tony Mandarich, Evo. I know that's low-hanging fruit.
Well, that's a clubhouse leader right now, Rob, for everyone. That's a clubhouse leader.
That's a super easy one. But, man, that's as bad as it gets, Evo.
And then, Rob? The best for Rob Reichel. Someone had said whatever draft pick we sent for Brett Favre was the best one.
Yeah, which was actually a first, and it was the 20th pick, if I remember right, overall, Evo. So, and it was, I think Atlanta took a running back that bombed. I mean, so that certainly played out. I mean, there's a bunch of them, right? I mean, they have the franchise's all-time leading receiver with Donald Driver in round 7. They have, obviously Aaron Rodgers at pick 24, wins the Super Bowl, wins 4 MVPs. It would be hard to argue against Rodgers, Ebo, in terms of where he went in the draft. Now you could go down and make the case, right? They found remarkable players in the middle round. I guess, you could play this game a lot of ways, right? What, you know, you get extra weight. You get extra points for finding a guy in round 5, right? They found Dorsey Levens in round 5, for example. He was an elite running back on a Super Bowl champion team. You know, they found Antonio Freeman in round 3. He was the best receiver in football for a stretch of time in the 90s. They have hit a lot in mid-round picks. They've been unbelievable, Evo, finding offensive linemen in the middle rounds that have gone on to do great things and be Pro Bowl players. I mean, cripes, they took Mark Tauscher, for example, in round 7, right? They took Lang and Sitton in round 4. I mean, there's a long list of guys, Evo, but to get a 4-time MVP, Super Bowl winning quarterback, a Hall of Fame quarterback, I wasn't a big fan of the Aaron Rodgers drama and all that over the last number of years, man. But Evo, to get a quarterback like that who's in the discussion for 10 to 15 years, of being the best player at his position in the league. It's kind of tough to argue against that. I mean, we can go back to Bart Starr, right? In the
16th I said in your lifetime, Robbie.
I know you did. I'm not quite as old as the draft where they found Bart Ebo. So we're gonna stick with Rodgers for right now. Back to worst picks ever, though. You remember?
And now back to the Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
From her mouth to the field's ears, this is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Welcome back on a Friday morning. You know, people think of Wisconsin agriculture largely as cows and crops, but there's a whole lot more to it than that. We're talking about it with Paul Dittman. He is the director of emerging markets for Compure Financial, and he literally looks at financing everything but cows and crops. He's going to explain a little bit more about how they help to bring resiliency to rural communities. He's one of our guests as we roll through the hour. Thanks again for joining us, everybody. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke. Today is the 26th day of April. What can I tell you? Let's see. On this day in 1986, worst nuclear disaster in history happened in Chernobyl. Large parts of Europe were contaminated when Reactor 4 at the Chernobyl nuclear power plant exploded. I remember I was in college at that time, and everybody talking about how far would that nuclear waste spread. Happened on this day back in 1986. On this day in 1982, Rod Stewart gets mugged in Los Angeles. The gunman stole his $50,000 Porsche. He was on Hollywood Boulevard in Los Angeles. Rod Stewart gets mugged on this day in 1982. Happy birthday to First Lady Melania Trump. She is 54. And actress, comedian Carol Burnett, 91 years young. And now you know. Well, we want our dairy operators to know, beginning Monday, that federal mandate goes into effect. If you're going to be moving lactating dairy cows outside the state of Wisconsin, those cows are going to need to be tested for high-path avian influenza virus before they leave. That's a surprise to a lot of dairy operators. We talked about it yesterday with Wisconsin Ag Secretary Randy Romanski, state veterinarian Darlene Conkle, and Adam Brock in charge of the food safety side of the Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection. Conkle says the reason that they're looking specifically at lactating dairy cows is because of the virus and its nature, she explains.
What we've been able to find out in the short period of time we've been dealing with this virus in cattle, it seems that the lactating animals are the highest risk for spread. So we're trying to concentrate on the area that will give us the most information and lessen the risk by requiring negative testing before those animals move state to state, because we know cattle do concentrate the virus in their mammary glands. That's where we're looking at gathering the most information, is from these lactating animals. It could change in the future based on things that we learn about this virus going forward.
That's Dr. Darlene Conkle, our Wisconsin State Veterinarian. The labs will report any positive results to the Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection. They, in turn, will follow up and require the dairy farm to basically tell them where those animals are, where those animals moved. Conkle said she understands this is a surprise for a lot of dairy operators, especially as we get closer to the show season when cattle may cross state lines a couple times in a week. She said that they are trying to minimize at least the financial impact of this testing.
So the cost of the test itself is being covered by APHIS to encourage more testing and try to alleviate some of the burden. A dairy farmer's life may change by having to plan a little bit ahead for moving lactating animal to another state. So contact with their veterinarian is important to set up testing and give time for negative results to be received. We're getting more information from our lab on what those turnaround times can expect to look like. They are pretty rapid turnaround times for this test. At this point, Wisconsin has not put in additional requirements for moving cattle within Wisconsin.
Dr. Darlene Conkler, Wisconsin State Veterinarian. Adam Brock, in charge of the Food Safety Division at the Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection, says he wants to reassure consumers the dairy supply is safe.
We've all kind of seen these articles about the virus being detected in milk, and I would emphasize the virus fragments they're finding are inactivated. So it's not viable virus. Pasteurization works. Even though we find the fragments of the virus, it's inactive. And we continue to work with our national federal partners on these kind of questions. So things are ongoing. I would not be concerned about the milk supply. Pasteurization works. It continues to work. And we'll keep the industry engaged and notified if we hear of anything else.
There you have it. The latest on high path avian influenza in our dairy population. Again, mandated testing for any of those lactating dairy cows that are going to be crossing state lines as of Monday. The bottom line from Dr. Conkle is contact your veterinarian if you've got questions, if you know that your animals are going to be traveling, if you've got sales scheduled, whatever it is, make sure that you're talking with your veterinarian today.
I look at this dairy cow, and again, it's the animal that I love. The things that this dairy cow can do and the way that she can produce milk, to me, there is no substitute for milk in the world. And to be able to keep cows and help cows produce that for people, to me, that's a privilege. I'm Dr. Bill Zimmer, nutrition and microbials, commonly called probiotics. That's BioVet. Learn more at bio-vet.com.
Innovation, that's BioVet.
Markets in overnight electronic trade this morning, a little bit mixed. The fluid milk for May that goes into cheese, currently up 7 at $18.25. The June Class 3 milks up 8 at $18.28. December corn's down a penny right now at $4.75. November soybeans down a penny at $11.74. The July wheat, 3.5 cents lower right now at $6.17 a bushel. Let's introduce you to another one of our finalists to become Wisconsin Alice in Dairyland. This young woman was intimidated by farmers when she was young. Haley Heinzel grew up in Oconomowoc and says getting past that intimidation and finding her love for agriculture is what inspires her to be a candidate today.
I grew up really far from a farm, actually. I didn't see a cow until I was 16 years old. So for me, agriculture is such an important part of my life, but it didn't start until about 2018.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I got into ag through FFA in high school. I had this idea of what farmers looked like in my head, and I didn't join FFA till my junior year because I was so intimidated by what real farmers looked like. That's how I got into milking cows. And then when you're not a farm kid and you say you want to work with cows for the rest of your life, they tell you to be a large animal vet. So I started by going to UW River Falls for a bachelor's degree in dairy science, and then COVID happened, and I had to kind of reevaluate how long I wanted to spend in school. So that was when I made the shift, and I decided to apply for the Farm and Industry Short Course program at Madison. And I graduated there at the last class of students they had there at UW-Madison. So that was where I got to meet you for the first time, which was very fun. And then, while I was there, Jennifer Blazek, the director, she encouraged me to continue my studies. So I reapplied to Madison for an undergraduate degree in dairy science, continuing on that vet track. And that is when I met Alice that summer, right before I started at Madison. Thank you. At the Wisconsin State Fair while working in Dairy Lane. And seeing her and seeing her work and how she's able to impact people made such a big impact on me. And I went into that fall at Madison, and I decided to change my major to communications, life sciences communications, to be able to connect with consumers. I love cows, but I realize I really love people. And I love working with people and being able to connect with consumers young and old, urban and rural, and that is where my passion lies. So now I'm finishing up my degree in May, and we'll kind of see where that takes me next.
Right. Yeah, that is an interesting background. When you started, first I got to ask you, why did you think farmers were intimidating?
You know, I think when you grow up not on a farm, everyone's like, well, it's an old man. He's sitting on a tractor. He's, you know, chewing on his little piece of straw. And farmers looked like everyone else. And that was what I didn't realize. Anyone can be a farmer.
Yeah.
And for me, that was, it just was so intimidating going into an FFA classroom full of a bunch of farmer boys.
Yeah.
Haley Heinzel from Oconomowoc, currently a senior on the UW-Madison campus, getting ready to graduate in May with a degree in life science communications. She's been active on the UW-Madison campus as well. She's involved with the Babcock House Student Cooperative. She's involved in the Science Communication Club, the UW Polo Club, also serves on the board of the Wisconsin Agriculture and Life Sciences Alumni Association. So Haley definitely stays busy, and she's looking forward to seeing more of Door County and hopefully more about Wisconsin agriculture. Haley Heinzel. Monday, we'll introduce you to another one of our finalists. Remember, it's a week from today when those six finalists will make their way to Door County to begin the final phase of the interview process to become Alice in Dairyland. They'll be in front of a panel of judges basically all the time, monitoring them on their tours and then conducting one-on-one interviews with each one of those finalists. On Saturday evening, next Saturday evening in Sturgeon Bay, we will find out who our next Alice in Dairyland is. You can follow along, aliceindairyland.com, or our own Carrie Mess is going to be in the audience next Saturday to give us the latest on the Alice in Dairyland finale. She'll be posting at MidwestFarmReport.com, Fabulous Farm Babe on Facebook, and Midwest Farm Report on Facebook. So take a look and get following all of those channels. Coming up next, you know, Haley talked about the diversity of agriculture we've got in Wisconsin. Some of that agriculture gets more attention than others. What if you've got a good idea, but you're working in a very small segment of Wisconsin agriculture? You need some like-minded soul to talk to. Well, that like-minded soul is on the way. Paul Dittman with Compure Financial is in charge of emerging markets for Wisconsin agriculture. What is it? What's it all about? He's next.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Jahnke.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Rural Mutual is the number one farm insurer in Wisconsin for a good reason. As a company founded by farmers, they understand the ag industry and its challenges. Local agents offer farm families the best advice and personalized coverage. Visit ruralmutual.com to find an agent near you.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
You know Ignite Glass and Gifts' three locations in Madison, but you can also shop igniteglassandgifts.com. You'll find grinders, lighters, collectibles, hand-blown glass water pipes, artistically designed jewelry, and plenty of other items delivered straight to your door or to family and friends. Madison's favorite for glass, gifts, and vape, Ignite Glass and Gifts, Monona Drive, Williamson Street, and Odana Road, plus igniteglassandgifts.com.
They say yes to 7 straight days. A traveling dress rehearsal for you to get comfortable in the seat and feel the power behind the smartest purchase you've ever made. The 7-day, no questions asked return policy, if you need it, at Bergstrom Automotive. Join the Bergstrom Automotive family for the yes.
Buying a really good piece of jewelry may seem intimidating, but not after you talk with William Thomas. They take the time with you so you know your money is well spent, not overspent. Their decades of knowledge shine almost as brilliantly as the stunning stones in your custom piece. Come see the collection of gorgeous gems and choose one for your very own.
William Thomas Custom Jewelry. Your inspiration, your custom jeweler.
Celebrating 30 years of brilliance.
From farm to fork and everything in between, we cover it all. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Jahnke.
Don't forget, rainfall reporters, I'd love to hear from you during the course of the weekend. Use our Midwest Farm Report talk text line. That number, 877-301-FARM, 877-301-3276. As we wrap it up on a Friday, we want to focus in on Wisconsin agriculture that doesn't get all the attention. When people think about agriculture in the state, they think cows and crops. But in reality, we've got a very diverse agriculture population out there. A lot of great ideas, too, but sometimes finding the financing for those great ideas to move forward can be challenging. Let's introduce you to Paul Dittman. He is with Compure Financial, and he's in what they call the emerging markets area, focusing in on those good ideas to take Wisconsin agriculture maybe in a new direction. Paul, tell me a little bit about what the emerging markets goal is for Compure.
So our program is called the Emerging Markets Program, and it's a program for farmers who market products directly to consumers or do something in value-added agriculture, whether it's value-added production, processing, or marketing. So we look at a lot of different types of enterprises. Pretty much anything outside of traditional commodity production falls under our bailiwick. So we work with vineyards. We work with small-scale meat processors. We work with people who are marketing meat direct to consumers, CSA operations, growing vegetables and marketing direct to consumers, all sorts of different things. You name it, we've probably either got it in our portfolio or we've at least looked at a business plan for it.
How many years? I remember when you transitioned into this position, and at first it was like, you got a job description, but really it was kind of, you had to evolve into it. Tell me a little bit about how long you've been doing this and how things have changed or evolved.
Yeah, we started the program 6.5 years ago, and we started with zero in the portfolio. We designed the program sort of from scratch. And today we're over $31 million in the portfolio. We've made over 300 loans. Average loan, pretty small. I mean, you can tell from those numbers, we make loans anywhere from $5,000 to over $1 million. But most of our stuff is pretty small scale. A lot of our folks are first-generation farmers. They didn't grow up on a farm. They decided that farming was their calling, and they decided to become farmers. Some are young beginning farmers. Some are older beginning farmers. We have a lot of people who... Yeah, it's the second act. They got to 50, 55 years old. They didn't want to sit in a cubicle anymore. They wanted to do something more meaningful, tangible. They're out growing vegetables or starting a vineyard or whatever it is. So, yeah, it's really interesting the way that things have evolved. I would say COVID was a huge change for our clientele. You know, when COVID hit, it felt like they fell off a cliff. All of a sudden, restaurants are shut down. Farmers markets are shut down. You know, they've got stuff growing in the greenhouse or already planted in the ground, and now all of a sudden there's no market for it. So they had to quickly spin and start selling things online. We had one of our clients that operated a tasting room. Tasting room was shut down. They'd been buying product from local farmers that they were turning into meals in the tasting room. Well, they pivoted and they started doing box deliveries, home deliveries of boxes of produce from the farmers that they were already buying from, which turned into a great business for them. You know, so they had to pivot really fast. Within 2 weeks, change what they were doing completely. And most of them rose to the challenge and got it done.
And like you said, now everybody's used to DoorDash and all the rest of those things after that experience. Paul Dittman in studio with us again. As he said, he is the portfolio manager for a lot of the unique and specialty areas of Compeer's clientele. Are you the only one doing this, Paul, or do they have like-minded souls like you in Minnesota as well as Illinois?
Yeah, there were two of us up until November of last year, and then we hired a third person in Illinois, Sarah Horner, which has been great. Sarah, I was kind of covering Illinois, but not doing a very good job of it. Most of my base is here in Wisconsin. Cy is up in the Twin Cities. Cy Tao, my colleague, works a lot with immigrant minority communities up that direction. But Sarah, being based in Illinois and being able to really develop those relationships with different organizations and working in the city of Chicago with urban agriculture and things like that, it's been fantastic having her with us.
Well, and you know, you start talking about that, and hopefully it's taking the blinders off everybody in the audience about not only what Compeer does, but the potential, the possibilities that are out there. Paul and I were talking and said, you know, we have to help people understand not everybody's going to milk a couple thousand cows. Not everybody's going to run a couple hundred beef for a couple thousand acres. You've got to try to figure out a way to keep some of these things going. And that also plays to Compeer's devotion to rural communities and building resiliency within that community. Why is that such an important staple for the credo, the ethos of Compeer?
Yeah, Compeer really does look at beyond the farm to rural communities and even to urban communities. You know, we work with urban farmers, although our focus is really primarily rural. We have to have vital rural communities. We have to have rural communities that are vibrant. And if we don't, those communities go away. It becomes more costly for all of our farmers when they have to travel 50 miles to buy groceries or to get fertilizer or whatever it is that they need. So having those local communities being really vibrant, providing non-farm income. You know, non-farm income is really important to everyone, farmers and non-farmers alike. And so being able to have local communities that are really strong, really vibrant, dynamic. You know, we are financing some small-scale meat processing plants, and we do financing of small-scale cheese plants and all sorts of different types of value-added businesses that can be really important to small rural communities.
Right. Paul Dittman, he is the Director of Emerging Markets for Compeer Financial here in the state of Wisconsin. And one brand new announcement just made by Compeer Financial yesterday, they are now making monies available for farmers markets across the state. A grant program designed both for the organization that kind of starts the farmers market, as well as the vendors that are involved in farmers markets all across the state. Just another way that they are trying to revitalize, re-energize, and add resilience to our rural communities across the state. You can find out more at compeer.com. Compeer.com. That's not just about the grant programs, but that's also offices available near you. All right. That'll do it for us on a Friday. Again, Rainfall Reporters, look forward to your contributions for the show on Monday. In the meantime, don't forget, more information available at MidwestFarmReport.com, Fabulous Farm Babe, and Midwest Farm Report on Facebook. Have a good weekend.